In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the first feast of the new year, the new church year. The church year begins on the 1st of September, and the first feast of the church year every year is the birth of the Theotokos, the nativity of the Theotokos. That's where it begins. That's where God's plan for the salvation of the world begins, with the birth of someone who is able to be the new Eve, who is able to give birth to the new Adam, who is able to serve God as Adam and Eve, as every human being was meant to do, to serve Him by being human beings, by being the beings that God created them to be. Finally, the time has arrived. And He chooses well. He chooses Joachim and Anna, two well-to-do Jewish people who have been married for a very long time, have never had children, have always kept all of the law, not as Pharisees, but keeping the spirit of the law. They loved God with all of their hearts, with all of their soul, with all of their strength, and they had great wealth. All of the good things of the world God had given to them. But the one thing that they wanted most of all was a child, and that God had not given to them. Not all of the good things of the world could give them the power, the ability to bring new life into the world. And that's what they desired more than anything else. And there is a lesson here right from the beginning, that like the rich man, we may have the capacity to do anything that we desire with the things of the world, and yet we are barren. We are barren of the life that God intended for us to have in us from the beginning. We are barren. That was the condition of all mankind before the birth of Christ. In the end, we will not be able to trample down death by death. Everything will be lost. We are like flowers that bloom for a season, and then we are gone. And so even though Joachim and Anna are devout and have kept the law, they are not able to bring forth new life into the world. This is the miracle of the birth of the Theotokos. With the birth of the Theotokos and with the birth of Jesus Christ, there is a miracle in both cases. But the miracle with the birth of the Theotokos has to do with God's bringing of life into the world that does not depend on the good things of the world. It doesn't depend on our human capacity. It doesn't depend on the capacity of this world to reproduce life in the way that it does reproduce life. This is a different kind of life that God wants to restore to the world. We have not lost the capacity to be good and decent human beings. We have not lost the capacity, as the Theotokos does, to close the door to passion. Her mother did the same thing. They were known for being, both Joachim and Anna, people who were not dominated and controlled by their passions. This is a capacity that we have so long as we love God more than ourselves. Those who love themselves more than God, they have no capacity for self-control. They are at the mercy of their passions. But spiritual life, ascetic Christian life, begins with Joachim and Anna. Their love is a chaste love. They love one another not with a physical passion and all-consuming desire. They love one another with the love that they have for one another because they love God. And still, God did not bless their lives with the birth of a child until their extreme old age. Until only by a miracle, by a special act of God, could they bring a child into the world. And that is the miracle of the birth of the Theotokos. In the icon of the Nativity of the Theotokos, there are some parallels with the icon of the Nativity of Christ, and also there are many differences. Anna is lying on the bed, the couch, After having given birth, just as women do today, they have to lie down, regain their strength. They've been through a 9-month ordeal of forming a new life within their body, giving birth to that life, and so she is lying down. The Theotokos too, in the icon of the birth of Christ, is lying down. And in that icon of the birth of Christ, the newly born infant is being washed by Salome. And in this icon of the birth of the Theotokos, there are women there attending who have washed the new babe that has been born. But that's where the parallels end. There is a terrific contrast between the birth of the Theotokos, the circumstances surrounding it, the physical environment, and the birth of Christ. Joachim was a very wealthy man. The Theotokos is not born in the wilderness. She's born in the city. She's born in a beautiful home with beautiful furnishings. Anna is attended by servants. Her every need is taken care of. In some icons, there is also a table next to Anna with a great feast that Joachim has prepared for all of the elders and the priests and the dignitaries of the city. It is a public event, not hidden away, not in a cave, but in a magnificent home. The Theotokos lies in a gold-clad cradle. Jesus Christ was laid in a manger with hay surrounded by animals. It was not a public event. It was a private event, only known to a few. The Theotokos at the birth of Christ was attended only by the angels. It was something that happened privately. The Theotokos is the one who was chosen to make that life possible for all of us. When we have the Vespers later on, you'll hear 3 readings from the Old Testament. The first reading from the Old Testament is about Jacob's ladder. Jacob's ladder that united heaven and earth. And Jacob saw angels ascending and descending on that ladder. There was no longer a barrier between the earth and the heavens. And Jacob said, "This is a holy place. This is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." And that reading is read because the Theotokos, the mother of our Lord, is like Jacob's ladder. In her, heaven and earth are united. She is the gate of heaven, a holy place, because her womb opens and God enters into the world, the new Adam, able to give us life so that we can do all of the things that the Theotokos did, including this new thing, bringing divine life into the world through our own lives. We are meant to be as God made her able to be, uniting heaven and earth, not clinging to the earth, not barren and building ourselves up according to the wealth of the world, but bringing new life into the world by way of our own life. The birth of the Theotokos and the birth of Christ were the same as far as the physical, biological way of a human being born into the world, the birth of a young female child, the birth of a young male child. In both cases, they need to be washed. It is a physical, real birth. In both cases, there has been a 9-month time of effort. Pregnancy and birth is not effortless. Women know this. They go through 9 months of pregnancy and birth. Men don't, and they don't know it. Throughout all of human history, every human society that has desired to be more than itself, to reconnect with the holy that they know that they are cut off from, has done things with men so that they might know what a woman goes through in pregnancy and childbirth. Because spiritual change takes something very similar, whether we're talking about a woman or whether we're talking about a man. We come, we confess our sins, we go away, and we just, wait for what? Was God going to do something? I'll try a little bit. There has to be an effort to bring new life into the world. If you want to show forth Christ rather than yourself, if you want to show forth His virtue rather than your own sins, then something must begin to be quickened inside of you. Something must begin to grow that is of God, not just of yourself. It takes 9 months to form a child physically within the womb of a woman. It takes years sometimes to form the presence of Christ in us so that we might bear into the world through our actions, actions of virtue and goodness that reveal the presence of Christ, so that people know that they are in the presence of a Christian and not in the presence of someone making excuses for not being as we teach and preach that a Christian is. The birth of Christ into the world is something that happened once historically so that it could happen again and again wherever there was a human being. But it does take that effort. Anna and Mary both were able to close the door to the passions, as it says in the second reading that we read during Vespers, about the temple whose east gate was closed. No passions could enter into their heart. Even before the Theotokos, it's not a miracle. We didn't lose the capacity to do it. If we worship God, we can do it. If we love God, we can do it. If we love His enemy, then we can't. If we are casting ourselves in the image of the enemy of God, then we do not have the capacity to make the effort to conceive something within ourselves where we desire that which is greater, which is holy, greater than ourselves, holy, perfect, pure. To desire that is to conceive something within us that can flourish because of the change that God made in the world. And the third reading that we read at Vespers comes from the book of Proverbs. And it's about wisdom. Wisdom has made her house. What is that house? A holy place. All three of those readings refer to the Theotokos and her birth, and they also refer to us and our Christian life. We are meant to be living houses of wisdom. We are meant to be living places that are holy. That is our calling. When we look at the saints, we see those who fulfilled that calling, at least from a worldly point of view. From their own point of view, they will never completely fulfill that calling, even though they've gone beyond what we can understand as human beings, as far as their to us seeming perfection. When a saint dies, he or she feels that they have only just begun, because they have an infinite way to go. The perfection of God is not something that we can have as a possession. It is only something that we can share. The meaning of our lives as human beings is hidden in this kind of way. And so when we celebrate here today the first feast of the new year, let us remind ourselves what our Christian faith is about. The closing off to passions, the abandonment of the desire to replace God in our own heart with our own ego and a love of Satan, to reject all of that, the birth of Christ in us and bring new life into the world, not to let our life be barren, but let it be filled with the grace of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.